your Bibles and open the letter 1 Peter. We're going to read in chapter 2, verses 19 to 25. I believe in your Bibles, in the Pew Bibles, is on page 1105, and the large print New Testament is 206. And of course, we're going to have it up here. We read in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. For it is a credit to you, if being aware of God, you endure pain while suffering unjustly. If you endure when you are beaten for doing something wrong, what credit is that? But if you endure when you do right and suffer for it, you have God's approval. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When he was abused, he did not return abuse. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he entrusted himself. I will repeat that. He entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that free from sins we might live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were going astray like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. Thanks be to God for his word. Let us pray. Dear God, thank you so much for this day. Thank you so much, Lord, for mothers. Thank you, God, because we have this relationship that is so special. And help us today, Lord, to meditate on these words that we have read. And help us, Lord, to bring forth those things, Lord, that you are calling us to bring forth. We pray that you bless everyone in this place now and all our families. But also, Lord, let us have communion with you. Let us have a time where we're talking and speaking with you and hearing from you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray this. Amen. Now, I don't know if you heard what we just read. That we are encouraged to endure suffering. That we have to be called to suffer. What nonsense. Now, you have to repeat after me with this, please. What nonsense. Yes, it is nonsense. Suffering just for the sake of suffering? What? Exactly. Now, to anyone who has blood flowing through their veins, it's very natural to understand why I'm saying that this is nonsense. Because suffering should not be our calling. Especially when we are constantly trying to improve our situation, we're not voluntarily going into a suffering mode when we wake up, do we? Isn't that what life is about? Improving our situation? Making it better? I was listening to Chuck Swindoll over the radio a few nights ago. You may know Chuck Swindoll. President of Dallas Theological Seminary and longtime pastor. He's now pastoring in Texas in Stonebriar Community Church. And I have to say about Chuck, he was very instrumental in my accepting the call to ministry. In 1998, I went to a conference called Preach the Word, and he spoke. And his words still echo in my mind. He was talking about Ecclesiastes 12 and about how the preacher chooses words that are like that artisan. I think we spoke about that last week. You know, it's like nails put in the right spot to make things look beautiful. Well, he was talking to his congregation, and he was asking, if you had anything to change in your lives, what would you change? And he commented about a person who responded to that question saying, I would change a few lives. I would change a few lives. And we sort of explored this a couple of weeks ago when Enrique was here preaching, you know, that theme of legacy. What is it that you would like to leave behind? And in that occasion, we were making a concerted effort to see how we could leave a legacy for the church. But in Dr. Swindle's speech, he asked that what would you change about your life? And that goes beyond a little bit further than just what was your legacy for the church. I think it's more about leaving a legacy in the church. You follow me, right? It's not about the legacy for the church, but leaving a legacy in the church. How is it that you would make an impact in the church? It's about investing your time, investing your effort to connect with other people. Maybe just a few. It doesn't have to be all 40 or 50 or 60 or 80 or 200 or 1,000 people, but just a few where you can invest your time and invest in who you are. Put yourself in God's hands in order to serve Him by touching people's lives. Now, we know that touching other people has more implications than just going beyond, you know, that touch, that physical touch. It's an investment. And as such, it involves an emotional connection. And when we bring up people that we're praying for, there is a spiritual and emotional connection with these people that we have. Now, Peter is speaking to an audience that is engaged in a very complex existence. And what I mean by that is that Peter is talking to churches that are up there in the area known as Turkey today. And these are churches that were started by Jews who fled from Jerusalem. They're in the diaspora. But these churches were composed now of a mix of people. There were Jews, and there were Greeks. It's like having Puerto Ricans and Mexicans together. They're different. Or Cubans, you might say. We're all different. Or having people from Boston and Alabama, right? Okay. So I'm hitting the spot. You see, that's what I mean. You know, people that are different. They speak differently. Even though they speak the same language, they have different perspectives, different points of view. They come from different places. And that alone created tension. Still, they invested themselves into that local context. And in turn, the result was a very diverse community. And we know that wherever there is diversity, there will be conflict. Needless to say, the conflict is not only internal, something that we experience ourselves, but it's also external. It's something that is expressed as we deal with others. But still, we find here a community. And we also find Peter telling them that it's okay. It is okay to suffer. To which I would say, what nonsense. See, I want to get us into context of this passage, if we go to verse 11, we confirm that he is speaking to aliens, to exiles. And in verse 12, he asked them to have good conduct among the Gentiles, to be an example to others. And in verse 13, he requests that they submit. And that word in the Greek, I'm going to show up a little bit, you know, upotasso. You see, there's Greek words in there that are spread about. But that word is submit. And submit to authority from human institutions. Imagine that. You have to submit to the government. And being submitted, I may say, is not a hierarchical term here. It's not a matter of, oh, you're up here and I'm here, so we have to submit to each other. It's more of a military term that says we are all soldiers. We are all fighting. We are all involved in what's going on, but we all have different responsibilities and different roles, and they call that a chain of command. There is somebody or someone that I respond to, someone that I'm accountable to. It is an acknowledgement that there is a structure. There's structure in society, and we need to deal with that and fit into what that means in our life. But it does not imply inequality. It doesn't imply that, oh, I have to submit to these folks, to my husband, to my wife, because they are better than I am. And I remember Professor Bob Utley saying, it is an attitude of service under authority. And I love that. It's an attitude of service under authority. Talk about what moms signify to our lives. A life of service. A life invested into others. Now comes the difficult part. Verse 16 states that they should live freely as servants of God. Did you get it? They should live freely as servants. And to you, I don't know if you would say this, but what nonsense is that? Live freely as servants. So we go on to state in 17 that you should honor everyone, love the believers, and honor the emperor. And I don't know, please do a short evaluation in your life if this is true for you. And tell me, how's it going? How's it going in those three areas? Now verse 18 throws a curve and says, slaves, accept the authority of your masters with deference. When I heard that word, I said, with what? Deference. Whether they're kind or they're harsh, it doesn't matter. Accept their authority with deference. Well, deference, I looked it up because I didn't know what it was. And it means respect. It means esteem. Some esteem due to an elder or a superior. And you see, this is where the text starts for us, with all that context. So we see Peter that is stating to them that they are in a strange place. And at that point, you should say, what nonsense? Peter says, whatever they find themselves, they should submit wherever they find them. So they should submit and serve, whether they are free or slaves. That attitude of service under authority becomes the norm. Service under authority, which may involve suffering. You see, when we decide to follow Christ, we enter into this relationship with the world. And we recognize that God is our authority. And is the authority of all of our lives. And we accept that with deference. Man, oh man, you see the challenge gets higher and higher. So this is the deal. Suffering is not always something that happens to us because we're ill, or because we have an accident, or we have to undergo, hear this well, undergo the consequences of our actions. Did you hear that? Suffering is not something that always happens to us. It's not a matter of just being victims. Sometimes we suffer because we looked for it. Sometimes we suffer because that's what we had coming. Peter says, what good is it to suffer when you deserve it? It's nothing to boast about. And I think he has a point. We had it coming. That was bound to happen. You see, that type of suffering can be productive, yes, because as we were reading in Romans 1, 5, and our reading today, suffering does create, it does produce something, you know. It produces endurance. So we need to have that. That is important, to have the strength, the endurance to go through suffering. But sometimes we just need to accept the consequences of being alive. Right? Sometimes things happen to us because we're alive. And we need to accept the fact that since we are alive, we're going to have a lot of things that are going on around and we don't like. But suffering also can be something that we enter into willingly. Ay, ay, ay. You see, I have a commentary here. I was officiating this wedding yesterday, and whenever I do that, I wonder, what are these guys thinking? This is crazy. Why in the world would you willingly get into this relationship forever? You see, I think that that is where love comes in. There is something that is calling us to engage in relationship, to touch one another. And we enter into it willingly. Now, of course, we're talking spiritually here, right? We're talking about God. How do we enter into a relationship with God? Willingly. Nobody's forcing us. So we're encouraged to endure suffering, to endure what we have gotten ourselves into. And think about this. Peter brings out a great example. And of course, you might say, oh, of course, you had to pull out the Jesus card, right? Amen. Jesus. Yeah, that's it. Jesus, God himself, made human in order that we could relate. For this, you have been called, says Peter, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving an example so that you should follow in his steps. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes we think that Jesus didn't, you know, feel anything, that he was Superman, and that he could fly. But the Jesus that I know wasn't Jesus that cried. Wasn't Jesus that felt. Wasn't Jesus that was connected with others. And he suffered. He suffered all that emotional turmoil of living as a servant, even as being king. He paid for the sins he did not commit so that we would have life in righteousness. You see, he left a legacy for us. He lived changing lives one at a time. And he gave a radical example of how we could live so what that we didn't have any regrets whatsoever. And I ask you, will you have any regrets? Now, I know that's not fair because I'm up here and you're down there and I'm the one that's speaking and you cannot respond back and say, Pastor, what in the world are you doing? Of course, you're taking advantage of your position because you're asking me about this, but what about you? Come on, you can say it. All right, I'll tell you. You see, I prepped that, right? I'll tell you. I really pray for the power and the strength. And even, hear this word, and even the anointing from heaven to be able to live that kind of life myself. It doesn't come naturally. And I really hope to leave a legacy, yes, and to live a legacy for those around me, but if you ask my daughters, if you ask my wife, you really know the truth. They know me. The question is, will you have regrets? Will you do that which is nonsense for the sake of he who did it for you? And I have to say that mothers who are present today may have an advantage, because I know a little bit about moms, and in many ways they exemplify what we're talking about today. Giving birth, giving life, and then taking that life and bringing it up, cooking for them, doing all the laundry for them when they can't do it for themselves, and then preparing them so that they can do the same for others. I think that is entering into a relationship willingly to suffer. To suffer. Because most of the time, moms don't hear, thank you, mom. Most of the time, moms hear, where's my clothes? Where's food? Where is this and where is that? Is that expectation that is set in us as survivalists, right? I need. And as we look forward to life together, as a congregation, as members of this society, I wonder, how are we accepting the challenge to live as Jesus lived? How are we connecting to each other as Jesus did? How are we establishing relationships that go beyond the walls of this magnificent building that we have for the glory of God? Let us pray. Dear Jesus, we acknowledge that we are frail, that we don't have what it takes sometimes, that Even those things that come naturally to us, we sometimes fight it. But we hear the call coming from your word. We are called to struggle. We're called to do things that go beyond what we would like to do. And for that, we understand, Lord, that we can only do it when we have your spirit reigning in our lives. We can only do it in your strength. We can only do it when you are leading us. And I pray, Jesus, this moment, this day, that as we sit here, your Holy Spirit may be touching our lives, may be doing something that goes beyond the things that are logical and beyond those things that we know with our mind we can do, and prepare us and strengthen us and put us in that attitude of service for your kingdom and your glory. Help us, God. Help us to reach out to others. Help us to be those hands that will be like your hands and feet like be like your feet. And we pray this, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.